Well, we are in the midst in these weeks in our word times of worship. We are drawing our thoughts from the Ten Commandments, especially as they relate to how these Ten Commandments provide life for our families, and as we live them out, cause our families to be terrific relationships and places to be and entities to be in this life. We continue that this morning. For all of our lives, for the entirety of our lives, from the moment of our birth and even our conception, we are sons and daughters. Whatever our age, whatever circumstance we're in, whatever relationship we have with family and with the wider world, we are, each one of us, in every moment for our entire lives, daughters and sons. And in that relationship, as daughters and sons, the foundation is formed for all other relationships. How we are as a daughter or a son says much about how we will be as a sister or brother or wife or husband or mother or father. It is not unusual to have sons and daughters first compared to you're most like your mother, you're most like your father. So it's not surprising then that if this foundational relationship that we had nothing to do with, but that is given to us from our conception, and is with us, I think, past our death, if this is foundational, it is not surprising that the fifth commandment says what it does and is number 5. The commandments form themselves into 2 parts. We'll not take time to read all of them again this morning, but you can glance at them if you're open to Exodus chapter 20, where our one verse text will come this morning. The commandments come in 2 parts. The first 4 instruct us concerning our relationship directly to God. I am to be the Lord your God. You will have no other gods before me. You will reverence my name. You will keep the Sabbath as holy to me. But when you come to number 5, it changes. And the rest of the commandments do not have to deal directly with our relationship to God, although everything does, but rather they deal directly and pointedly with our relationships to one another. Honor father and mother, don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't envy. That, when the turn is made in the Ten Commandments from dealing with our relationship directly with God to dealing with our relationships to all those others around us, it begins. The first one is our relationship with our mom and our dad. And the single word, just one word given in instruction, is the word honor. Other passages in both Old and New Testament will call on children to obey their parents, and that's in Scripture. But sometimes we assume that that's what this fifth commandment says. It calls on children to obey their parents. Please hear me say, there are other passages of Scripture that do that, but that's not what this one says. This one doesn't use the word obey, it uses the word honor. And it doesn't use the word children, but includes us as sons and daughters for the whole of our lives, whatever our age might be. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. I want to just take those few words, honor your father and your mother. We're just going to do two things in the message this morning. I want us to talk about the meaning of the word honor, and then I want us to see how we actually put that word to work in our lives with our moms and our dads. The meaning of the word honor. The word honor draws its life from several words that are at the center of every person. I was privileged to be in a Sunday school class this morning and have some discussion with them, and we talked about the very words I'm going to mention. The word honor finds its root in every person's sacredness and dignity and worth. That's where it comes from. We almost always think of honor as connected to value or achievement. That we honor people for some kind of noble deed. We honor people who achieve great things for achieving those great things. But such is not God's way. Let me repeat, such is not God's way with honor. In fact, Jesus said, the ones you think are first will be last, and the ones you think are last will be first. Every person, not based on achievement, but every person, which means every mom and dad, your mom and your dad, have from the Lord the gift of profound sacredness. They have from the Lord a dignity bestowed on them as objects of God's creation and subjects of God's love. They do not have sacredness and dignity because they achieved something or because their behavior is a certain way. They have a sense of honor and a sense of dignity given to them the same way you do, as objects of God's creation and subjects of His love. That has to be the foundation of everything we're going to say in the next few moments. I almost want to go down the road and say, you got it. Honor is not attached. Sacredness and dignity are not attached to achievement. They are attached to being created by God and subjects of His love. Everybody go, amen. Thank you. Now you got it. And with that in place, we can say that honoring parents then is having a relationship with them that recognizes and responds to their sacredness and their inherent dignity as persons. Our honoring of them is not tied to their behavior. It's tied to their being sacred in God's sight. We honor our parents by speaking and acting in ways that, because of us, their sacredness and their dignity is acknowledged and perhaps even viewed by others. Their sacredness and their dignity is inherent in the way we speak and act toward them. And in that way, when others hear us or see us regarding our parents, they know that our mom and our dad, whoever they are and whatever they're like, that this is true about them. They are stamped with God's creative power and imbued with dignity from Him. Even though they, mom and dad, like us, children, may mar it deeply. Now let's understand what honor is then. Now, with that simple understanding of honor, that it is the recognition of the expression of moms and dads' sacredness and dignity from God, let's put that word to work in our lives. I have to say here that this word works differently, wears different clothes at different times in our lives. There is a sense, and this is just very general, but there's a sense in which all of us are in one of three times in our lives with our parents. We all begin as dependents. We are not on our own. We are cared for by our parents. They are in charge because they are responsible for us. This covers us from infancy to whenever it is that we are really out there sustaining ourselves now. For me, it began with me at conception in my mother's womb and birth in Big Spring, Texas, of all places, and was true for me until sometime into my college years when that transition happened that I really then became sustaining myself. All of that is this dependent time. The second stage is what I'm going to call with our parents the stage of being friends. Friends of the dearest and deepest kind. We as sons and daughters are on our own, but we choose to do life with our parents in some way. We act more like the closest of friends. We listen to each other's stories. We walk with each other through joys and sorrows, supporting one another, not just being supported, but supporting one another, traveling together, sometimes debating together. You might want to call it arguing, but sometimes trying to figure things out together. My parents, when I was in this friend time, and that lasts through the vast majority of our adult years, my parents were, most of those years, over 1,000 miles away. So I didn't have much opportunity to do life with them. But I sure did have opportunity to do life with Janice's mother and father. And they took me in as their own son. In fact, they said to me several times, if you and Janice ever split, you can come live with us. She has to find someplace else. That's my one thing I get to say about Janice, you know. We shared life with them as fully as we could. They were still a long ways away, but we really get to them easier. And some years we were here. We went camping with them. Not because they needed us, and not because we needed them, but because we could, because we were friends together. I spent some time working with her dad. And working with him, we were friends working together. It was not father-son. We were friends. I hope you understand that. And then the third phase comes when our parents grow elderly. They have lesser and greater needs in those elderly years, but mostly the child becomes the supporter. Not the boss, but the supporter. They come alongside to hold them up. Sometimes physically hold them up, right? But even more to emotionally and relationally, sometimes spiritually hold them up. I can remember in my dad's waning years before Alzheimer's set in, when he very much had his mind and his ministry was ended, he physically could no longer do that, that I would go to see him and my dad would say to me, what have I done with my life? It seems like I haven't done anything with it. I've just spent my years. I've done nothing notable. I've done nothing impressive. There's no record left behind me. And he struggled with that. And as his son, it was my responsibility and my privilege to come alongside him and put my arm emotionally around him and say, oh no, Dad, wait till you get home. Wait till you see what your reward is. You see, that's what we do. In 1,000 different ways, in the latter years, as the weakness grows because of age, we support. So let's talk about how each of these phases of our lives show honor to our parents. When we are children and youth, dependent on our parents, not yet out of the home, still watched over and sustained by them, the key word for honoring is that we live as children and youth in such a way that we give our parents pleasure and joy. There are many, many different ways. I'm going to just going to talk about it and then list a couple. You bring honor to your parents by having a relationship with them that brings them pleasure, that causes them joy. I want all of the children in here this morning. I see you a little fuzzily through my glasses, but I see you. I want all of the children and all of the young people, all of the dependents here, to just really listen up. Not because I'm a wise man, but because of what the Bible calls you to do. You, children and young people, have the power, an enormous power, to bring joy and laughter to your mom and your dad that is beyond anyone else's power. I want to tell you, children, young people, you can live and be and act in such a way that your mom and dad's heart is more exploded with joy over you than anything else in their lives. It's true, isn't it, parents? And you can live and act in such a way, children and young people, in which you bring them the greatest grief and sorrow and pain. You have an enormous power. And you honor them when you live in such a way that that power that you have over their hearts is exercised to bring them joy and life and pleasure. Three ways you do it, children, young people. Number one, never speak bad words about them to other people or to them. Just don't. Two, do not treat them in a way that makes them hurt. And sometimes when they make you mad, you can really do it. Especially young people, right? When they get mad at mom and dad because they didn't follow that young person, that son or that daughter's young life, they can say and do things that will pierce the heart of mom and dad incredibly. Don't. This is true even if our parents are not with us any longer. How do we give honor to our parents when we are friends? Friends, dearest and deepest kinds of friends, doing life together. The key word for how we honor our parents in these adult years of our lives is sharing life. Sharing life. Neither of you is in charge of the other. When you're 45, your mom and dad are not in charge of you, even though they probably think they are. We are humans, aren't we? And just because they're 65 years old or 60 years old doesn't mean you're in charge of them. Friends are not in charge of friends, right? Friends are not in charge of friends. Friends share the road. They choose to do life together. You welcome their presence into your life and your family, and you speak to them of your life and your heart, and you invite them to share in your journey. They're not cut off from your journey with your family. They're brought into it. You honor them by bringing them in. On the other side of that, you honor them by responding as they welcome you into their lives. Did you know, I can tell you now this, I couldn't for many years, that your parents, once their children are gone from their home, your parents still have a life? They're not just sitting around doing this, wishing for former days. They have a life. And they'd like to share it with you. They'd like for you to come along and experience some of it with them. But not all of it. But some of it. And so you do. And you do with joy and laughter. I'll just tell you that when our daughters grew and moved out into their college years, and we had both of them at home, and both of them left within 10 days of each other to go to college. Empty nest. All of a sudden, we said, yay! And we haven't changed our mind. And we love them. Honor. You share in their life's experiences. Don't be too busy. Don't do it as a bother. You bring them into your world, and you bring them into your world with pride and not on the side. You live an honorable life so they can tell others what you are and how much it brings them pride to have you as son or daughter. And always speak well of them and never ill. Just don't. This is true even if your parents are now gone. Supporters, how do we honor our parents when they are in those years where they don't have as much strength and as much vigor as they used to, when they are dealing with issues in their health and they're forgetting things that they didn't used to forget? I know all about this. How do you honor them? Well, please know, supporters, that these years don't mean your parents can't do anything. But the safety of their lives is you, their children. Does that make sense? The safety of their lives is you. They depend on you to help them walk through the stuff that they face in those years. The key word for the son or the daughter who is in the supportive role with mom and dad is selfless grace. Selfless grace. You become the one who tends and gives, but without trying to control. That requires a great deal of what? Grace. If it is without grace and patience, then your support becomes offensive because it becomes controlling. And that doesn't honor them. How do you do this? Well, ask them how they are. Really, how are you? And then listen for a while before you tell them how to respond. You respect the boundaries they set, even when it's not what you think they should do. Sometimes you just visit with them. A number of years ago, we had a lady in our church named Johnny B. And Johnny B was a strong, I mean, strong-willed, strong-bodied person. And she managed her life. Thank you very much. She had several children, but she was quite sufficient. But the time came when Johnny B was not so sufficient anymore. And she was primarily confined to her home. She didn't drive anymore. She had driven her whole life. She didn't go very much. It's more difficult to get around. I went by to visit with Johnny B. She was a member of our church. And as I was sitting there visiting with her, I said, "Well, you're mostly at home these days, Johnny B. You have many people come to see you? Many people visit you?" "No. Hardly ever have anybody come by and visit with me." And to try to rescue that sentence, I knew she had some children who dropped in her very frequently, several times a week. I said to her, "But your children come see you often." She said, "Yes. They come, they do something to take care of me, and they leave. But they don't visit with me." Whoa. Whoa. What a statement. They come, they do what they need to, but they don't visit with me. So that's how you honor. Just thoughts to get you started on how you honor your parents in your supportive years. selfless grace. And you never speak about them in demeaning ways. You just don't. And this is true even if our parents are not with us any longer. I want to speak a word before we close. I want to speak a word to those parents who do not live a life that brings you, your child, their child, joy and pleasure. We certainly, in this size congregation, we have more than just a few of you, that when we talk about moms and dads and your relationship to moms and dads, you say, yes, you're painting the picture of this lovely mom or dad. My mom or dad was not lovely. I know that they were present in my life, but listen, they never acted as parents toward me. Maybe your dad abused you. Maybe your mom did nothing but put you down. Maybe there was a deep level of rejection of you. They're going to take care of you, but they just soon they didn't have to. You know that is true in our world, isn't it? So what about you? Does this command stand for you? I want to say tenderly, graciously, for the sake of your own heart and your own life, if nothing else, still do honor them. Still do. Remember what we said at the beginning of the teaching. Honor is not about worth. It's not about achievement. It's not about behavior. Honor is not rooted in one's behavior. Honor is rooted in what? One's sacredness as an act of God's creative power and one's dignity as a subject of His love. And some of you here this morning have moms and dads who really fouled out on that. And I would just ask you this. Are they still subjects of God's creation? And are they still objects of His love? And the answer to that is, of course, yes. So while it may be very limited and very thin for you, and not much opportunity there for you, that's all true. When that opportunity is come, when that moment does happen, even though it's small and infrequent, do not throw that moment away. Do not trash it. In that moment, follow this command. Speak and act in such a way that you, before the Lord, recognize that they still are a person of sacredness and they still are a person loved by God. And I'm not going to add to their baseness. And I'm not going to pile on the indignity they've already piled on themselves. And my dear son or daughter of those parents, that's all you can do, and that's all you're asked to do. If you're a dependent, still a child or a young person here this morning, and you've heard these words, and you think, man, I really caused my parents to wince their way numbers of times. I've hurt them, and I've justified it. This morning you need to change that. Not tomorrow, not the next day. This morning you need to change that. You need to ask Jesus to help you change that. If you are in those years where you and your parents are traveling as friends, but you've been a poor friend to them, you begrudge the time you have to spend with them, you've not invited them with joy into your life, and you're not really wanted to spend your time being in theirs, this is the morning to change that. Not tomorrow, not the next day, but today. And if you're a son or a daughter who has now become a supporter, what a pivotal place you have. But in your supporting, you've tried to also be controlling, or you've gotten offended that your mom or your dad now needs so much of you. Your work as a supporter is holy to the Lord. It's holy to the Lord. And this is the morning to ask Jesus to soften your heart and to fill you with selfless grace again. If this morning you're one of those wonderful sons and daughters who walk in a beautiful, beautiful, rich, profound relationship with your mom and or your dad, and you share life with them, you bring them pleasure, they welcome you into their lives, and you have this incredible gift of beautiful life with them, would you please give thanks? Would you please give thanks and acknowledge the enormous treasure that is yours? Because not everyone has it. Would you stand as we pray?